Welcome to the Warriors of Grace podcast, hosted by Dave Jenkins. Warriors of Grace is about helping men from generation to generation become gospel men in private, in the home, in the church, and in public through the Word of God. Now for today's episode, let's join our host, Dave Jenkins.
All right, well, welcome back to the Warriors of Grace podcast. My name is Dave, and I'm the host for this podcast. And today we're going to talk about something that is really, really important, and that is studying the Word of God. But we've been talking about, in this series, reading the Bible personally and corporately, you know, just about that. We're starting off talking about reading the Bible personally, although we've also touched on already the corporate dimension of Bible reading. And we open this series talking about the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit and reading the Word of God. And today we're going to talk about studying the Scriptures. This, we're not just supposed to read the Word of God. We are to study it. And some people have asked me in interviews and talking about this, what is the difference between reading the Bible and studying the Bible? And, you know, as I think about that subject, and I have over the years and had many conversations with people in the church over email, on podcasts, and obviously on interviews, I think of reading the Bible for our own personal benefit. Studying the Bible has to do with mining the Scriptures. It has to do with understanding something about the cultural significance. Perhaps you might have noticed in your pastor's sermon, for example, you know, some things stand out. You want to know more about how he came to understand various things about the cultural background and the significance of Scripture and so on and so forth. As the added backdrop to the passage that he's preaching on. Well, this is where we get into the Word. This is where we dig into it. We, as John Newton talks about, we are to be miners of the Scripture. And so that explains the difference between just reading the Bible. You know, maybe we're skimming the Bible, or maybe we're, you know, diving in reading, but studying the Bible has to do with, you know, mining its depths, discovering what the passage really means, and so that we understand what it means. And we're going to talk about application, so I'm not going to go there just yet. But those are some things as we begin to think about studying the Bible, what it means. We are living in a day when even there are people that would like to separate Jesus from the Bible. But we see in Luke 24:27, Jesus interpreted the Scriptures to the disciples. In John 5:39, Jesus said that you search the Scriptures because they testify of me. The whole Bible has a unified whole in the person and the work of Jesus Christ, from Genesis to Revelation, and everywhere in between, the Scriptures testify of Jesus Christ. In fact, when Jesus said that the Scriptures testify of me, he's speaking about the Old Testament. And so that's really, really important, from the prophecies about Christ in the Old Testament everything therein. It all centers on, and it's all about Christ. Well, we could say a lot about that. There's a lot of material on Servants of Grace about these things. I often speak about these topics, but I wanted to focus mainly on Christ in the meaning of types in this episode. Now, you might not be aware of the idea of types. Types are persons and events and institutions that typify something about Jesus. For example, Moses was a type of Christ as our deliverer from bondage. King David was a type of Christ as a faithful king. Solomon typified Jesus' reign of peace and glory. The conquest of Jericho was a type of Christ's conquest over Satan. The tabernacle typified God as he dwells among men through Christ. You might think that this is unimportant or even uninteresting, but it's far from it. We need to see the stories not just as a fascinating history of moral fables, but as narratives and stories that help the people of God better understand and appreciate the person and the work of Christ. You see, the Christ who would come and who has come, he has now fulfilled the work he was assigned by his Father in his person and in his work. And this is so important because we're going to consider how the Old Testament ceremonies help us understand the Lord Jesus. The Levitical priests anticipated the ministry of reconciliation of Christ for sin and sinners. These sacrifices show the saving work of the blood of Christ. One example of this is in Leviticus 16. I know that's maybe a book that you might overlook or even struggle with, but Leviticus 16, it tells us of the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement is the day where the high priest would enter into the most holy place. The priest was only allowed there once a year to make a sacrifice for the sins of the people. And so the details of this are significant. They are essential. First, the high priest would be required to put on clear and holy garments signifying the Messiah's perfect righteousness to serve as a priest before God. The high priest then took two male goats from the people. These were expected to be spotless to show how the real sacrifice of Jesus must be sinless. On one of these goats, the high priest laid his hand, signifying the transfer or the imputation of the people's sins to the scapegoat. That goat was then, according to Leviticus 16:10, sent away into the wilderness to be killed as a sacrifice. Only then would the high priest take its blood into the most holy place. There, in the presence of the glory of God and before the tablets of the Ten Commandments, was represent that the people's sin had been broken, the high priest would only then sprinkle blood on the mercy seat, just as Christ died to present his blood to atone for the transgressions of his people. And now the point of all this is from the prophecies, the types, the ceremonies, they are there to help us see and grab hold of the Old Testament's teaching about Christ. The first five books of the Old Testament, known as the Torah or the Pentateuch, are filled with prophecies of Christ. Some of these are Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, Joseph, and Moses. And many of these, if not all, are types of Christ or of faith in Christ alone. Now, the ceremonies of the law that point to Christ were given by God through Moses. The scribes and the Pharisees, we need to understand, would fly the banner of Moses, but fail to comprehend the powerful witness of Moses to Christ. This is why Moses himself, whose name is highly prized by the Pharisees, condemns them. Through the law of God Moses taught, which judges their sin, and the gospel Moses preached, what they refused by their opposition to Christ, accuses these Old Testament scholars and sinners today. The Mosaic law accuses every sinner apart from Christ unless they do as Jesus said and come to him that they may have life in John 5:40. None of us, and I repeat, none of us as Christian men should look down our nose at other people like the Pharisees and think that we're somehow better or greater than anybody else. We are just like them. We have all committed heinous sins against an infinitely holy, just God, and we are deserving of condemnation. And yet, because of Christ, we are given hope. We are given the knowledge of eternal life, security in Christ, a new identity in Christ alone, with all the rights and the privileges of a son of our Father God. That is good news, and it's also why seeing Christ in all the scriptures is so critical to the Christian life, so that you will read the whole Bible and not just the parts that you want. And the result of seeing the law in this way is to confess our sin to God and to come to Christ to be saved by the same gospel that both Moses preached and Jesus proclaimed. And as you do come to Scripture, it's so important to read the Bible in context. You know, when we understand, for example, the cultural significance of a of a passage like even John 4 and understand some of the dynamic that is happening there. This woman is essentially engaging in sexual sin. The reason that she comes, for example, at noon is because she is an outcast to society. And so the text is giving us clues. Hey, pay attention to this. This has meaning. The text in a narrative, especially the narrative structure of a text, of a chapter, has meaning. And we learn that the reason she's there is, yes, she later on, she has multiple husbands. She's been, you know, engaging in sexual sin outside of marriage. And these kind of things, they should stand out to us in our reading. They should lead us to ask questions of the text. And this is an important thing, especially in our day, to be clear about. As we come to ask questions of the text, we're not doing so, as many people would advocate today, to be critical of the text. Instead, we're asking to investigate. We're investigating, what does this mean? What is the significance of what is being said? I just gave you an example of that. We have a believing confidence in the Word of God. It is what it is. It is truthful. It's reliable. It's for our good. It's for every phase and every part. It's clear and it's binding on our lives. And it tells us about how we might know Christ and how we might grow in the Lord Jesus. Let's talk about, we've been talking about, you know, the purpose of the Holy Spirit and studying the Word of God, but it's important that we have a good understanding of why we are to have a passion for this subject, for studying the Word of God. And the first reason we are to have a passion for the Word of God is to grow in personal communion with the author of Scripture. The more that we get to know and study the Word of God, we are getting to know God Himself as He has revealed Himself in the Word of God. And we are to do this with diligence. We are to do this with humility. We are to do it with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul. Psalm 119, 10 through 11 says, "With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." So love God and love the letter, the word that He has given you in the Word of God. And the second reason is the author of Scripture, the reader and the interpreter of Scripture should aim to know the Lord Jesus, not to dominate over the Scriptures, not to tell the Scriptures what they are to mean, but you should long to have a deep and a rich and a full communion with the God who has given you union with the Lord Jesus. And so that's why you should know the Holy Spirit, or know the and understand the Scriptures, so that the Holy Spirit can take the word that you're reading and that you're studying and even make you more of an instrument of His word, so that you might be useful to the Lord Jesus in making disciples and reaching the lost and in engaging a lost and dying world for the glory of God. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, genuine joy is available to you, dear Christian man. If you genuinely desire to know God in Christ alone, and now through the Spirit you can, which should result in you rejoicing and being able to understand the Scriptures. You should approach the Scriptures with a worshipful awe. It is the Word of the living God. We should be humble. We should be contrite. We should have a respectful approach and attitude to it. And we should approach it with a worshipful attitude, a fearful and respectful attitude, a submissive and yielding attitude, and a love for the God that has given us His Word. Well, the fourth point is, consider the amazing privilege it is to read and study the Word of God. Up until 1500 AD, the ordinary person didn't have the privilege of reading and studying the Scriptures in their own language. It took centuries before the Bible was translated and circulated in many of the world's languages. Today you have a priceless gift and a treasure in your hands. You have the Word of the living God to read and to study and digest, and we have thousands upon thousands of resources like this podcast. We also have the Servants of Grace podcast, where I answer questions and preach regular sermons through books of the Bible. What a privilege that we have such great resources available to us. A word about that, by the way. As you consume resources, you want to find out something about, you know, the education of the person. Were they educated at a place, at a school, where they taught the Bible? You want to be taught and instructed by trustworthy teachers that will teach you the scriptures. That is why all of our writers agree that they're broadly reformed, meaning that they either agree with the Westminster Confession or their 1689 London Baptist, they agree with the London Baptist Statement of Faith, or and they also agree with the Chicago Statement on Biblical Inerrancy. We're a complementarian ministry, and so we aim to have trustworthy content in written form, but also we require our podcasters to agree with the same kind of things, and we're focused on the local church, serving and providing resources to the local church, not to take you away from the local church, but to help you to dive into your Bible better yourself, and also so that you might serve in your local church and in your community. So, the fifth point you need to consider is develop a real interest in the scriptures that you're reading and studying. You might think that your time in the Word is dry, it's and dull, but it need not be this way. You need to develop a captivating interest in the scriptures. And to do this, ask yourself, why did the Pharisees react so strongly against Jesus as he declared his relationship with the Father? What was the nature of the Judaizers that Paul seems to combat regularly? Also notice the choice of vocabulary, the connection between sentences, the development of the argument in each book. We call that authorial intent. This is going to arouse your curiosity. It's going to awaken your interest. It's going to give you the joy of discovery as you read and as you study the scriptures. The sixth point is to ask the Lord to give you a true joy as you study the scriptures. Genuine joy is available for every Christian indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to take the truth of the Word of God and to plant it deeper into your heart and life. Joy, by the way, is a fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5:22-25. And joy comes through Jesus Christ alone. So, dear Christian man, if you want to ask the Lord to stimulate his joy in you through the Holy Spirit, as you open the Word that testifies of Jesus Christ, ask the Lord for that. Our seventh point is find a passion for the Word of God. I want to encourage you to find a quiet place and spend quality time reading and studying the Word of God. You don't want to be disturbed during this time. You don't want background noise, television going, music, or so on and so forth. I want to encourage you in this time alone to find the time that where you're most alert, whether that's in the morning, whether that's, you know, at lunch, or, you know, in the evening. Find a time that works for you and utilize that time well. Utilize it well. Devote that time to, that's when you're going to read, that's when you're going to study, that's when you're going to feed your soul with the Word of God. And you need that because the Word of God is bread of life. It's a necessity, like you eat food and drink water and so on and so forth. You need it. So for our eighth point, let me encourage you, before you begin your time in reading and study of the Word, spend that time in prayer. Before you read verses or chapter of the Bible, pause to ask the Lord's blessing through the Holy Spirit on your time of reading. For clarity of thought and for conviction, the Holy Spirit brings through the Word he inspired. Psalm 119:18 says, "Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law." Don't rely on your own natural ability, your own natural intelligence, even your education and so on and so forth. Ask the Lord to open your eyes, to, as the psalmist says, to see great and wonderful things from his Word. The Holy Spirit wants to do this. In fact, we see this in Luke 24 on the road to Emmaus. Jesus opens their eyes through the Holy Spirit to see, to understand what he had said in Luke 24:27, where he interpreted the scriptures. And then in verse 31, he opened their eyes, the Holy Spirit did, to the truth that Jesus taught them. The same is true today. Ask the Holy Spirit to not only illuminate, to help you understand the Scriptures, but to apply the Word powerfully in your life as you read and study the Word of God. But it's not only important to talk about this, I want to appeal to you to crack open that Bible, to examine what the Bible says. Let me encourage you not only to read the Bible as you would a newspaper, what you're about to read is the Scriptures, God-inspired revelation of His revealed will. Every word of Scripture has been inspired by the Holy Spirit and should be scrutinized with intensity by the Christian. James 1:25 says, "One who looks intensely at the law, at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." Dear Christian man, please read the Bible to see, to marvel, to understand what the biblical writers taught about the person and the work of the Lord Jesus. It's vital as we read and as we study our Bibles to read and study the Bible for benefit from the Lord. Romans 15:14 says, "Whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and encouragement through the Scriptures we have hope." You see, the purpose of you reading and studying the Bible is for your own personal encouragement, for your own personal edification, so that you can be equipped, so that you can know the Scriptures, because the Scriptures are profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training that leads to righteousness. And this is how we're made wise. We are made wise through knowing the Scripture and gaining understanding into the Word of God. The Word of God nourishes, it helps us grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. So as we've considered this, we also need to consider one more thing, and that is reading the Scripture helps us to know and obey the revealed Word of God in the Scriptures. You should bear in mind, you are not reading for mere curiosity or just to do your due diligence or your due duty or to compete with others who are reading and studying the Bible. As a Christian, you are earnestly to seek to know what pleases God. And what pleases God is revealed in His clear and authoritative and binding Word. Christians will be judged by Christ. This is why they should intently study the Word of God to know it thoroughly. In Psalm 119:11, the psalmist says, "Your word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you." Every Christian is going to face times where reading and even studying the Bible seems more like a duty than a delight. You have to work through that. You have to work through it and ask yourself hard questions about why you're struggling. But with the points I've just discovered, what I've given you today, you can find through these points a renewed passion for not only reading the Bible, but studying the Bible. You see, we are to be minors of the Scripture. To do that well, we must approach the Scriptures as the very Word of God, given for our encouragement, for our instruction in the ways of the Lord. And understand that the Holy Spirit wants to use the Word of God to help us to grow. And even so, as you continue to grow in the knowledge and understanding of the Scriptures and of the grace of God they reveal in the person and work of Jesus Christ, you will, as a result, have a genuine desire to read and to study the Bible. A.W. Tozer said this, "The Bible is not an end in itself, but a means to bring men to an intimate and satisfying knowledge of God. If they may enter into Him, that they may delight in His presence, may taste and know the inner sweetness of the very God Himself in the core and the center of their hearts." As you do this, you will have a real enjoyment of God, a real delight in searching and studying and reading the Word of God, and delight to understand and obey the Word of God. Well, I want to thank you for listening or watching this episode of the Warriors of Grace podcast. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you and keep you.
Thank you for listening to the Warriors of Grace podcast. If you enjoyed the show today, please subscribe, leave a rating on the app, and share our episode with your friends and family. If you want to, you can follow us on Instagram @Servants of Grace, on Twitter @Servants of Grace, or search Servants of Grace on Facebook. You can also find our show on the front page of the website servantsofgrace.org.